Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, and I'm here today with Laurie Barnett Levine. She's from Mental Health America of Southwestern Pennsylvania. Thank you for being on the show again, Laurie.
Thank you so much for having us on the show. We always appreciate the opportunity to spread the word about the importance of mental health.
Yes, for sure. And I wanted to talk to you. We're recording this interview in September, and it's not airing until later in October, but September is Suicide Awareness Month. And really, any month is a good month to talk about suicide awareness. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about suicide awareness and how the MHA is connected to that?
Well, it's a really important topic, and people think it doesn't really apply to them until it happens. And we had thought that when the COVID pandemic began, that we were going to see a rise in suicides during the pandemic. We did not, but what we're seeing is the delayed effect. And somehow everybody being in isolation and being together was a protective factor, because people were together, but now people are feeling alone. And the Surgeon General recently released a report that there's a loneliness epidemic, that people are really feeling alone and isolated, and that this actually can lead to physical health problems and early death. But suicide is really a death of despair. That people don't necessarily want to die per se, but they want the pain to end or the situation to end. Sometimes it's an impulsive act. And so because of some of the ramifications of the pandemic, whether they're social, you know, effects of the pandemic, or whether they are economic impacts of the pandemic. We know that a lot of people have been hit hard, businesses, particularly smaller businesses, social relationships have been hit hard. Children are having trouble readjusting, being back at school. And so what we were seeing nationally is a rise in the numbers of suicide again. And in Westmoreland County, where most of our listeners are from, the suicide recorded rates last year were the highest number ever recorded. They're the highest number on record. Wow. And so it's not like who you think it is. You know, it's not the stereotypical person. It's like your next door neighbor. It's somebody that you may really know. It could be a prominent person in the community. We've seen that in the last year. Unfortunately, there have been many lives lost to suicide, people that we know. People that are tremendously cared about in the community. And so we want to spread the word. We often, you know, we talk about suicide awareness and prevention, and the people who lost loved ones to suicide, they kind of don't like the word prevention because that implies that they could have prevented this. They could have stopped this from happening. And we want to say that not all suicides are preventable. Sometimes a person makes their mind up and they keep a secret from everyone and they keep it hidden. And that's just what they want to do. We know that in Westmoreland County, most of the suicides are by white males, middle-aged white males, and they're by gun. So we're certainly not making a Second Amendment statement at all. But what we're saying is that if there's a family member that you know is really troubled, and you have guns in the house, or you know they have guns in the house, to temporarily remove them until that situation has passed so that they don't really have access to the firearms. Because people say, oh, they're locked, or the bullets are kept separate from the guns, and then they think that the person doesn't really know where they are. But it's been our experience that, well, where there is a will, there is a way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you see someone becoming really despondent, it's really important to gently ask them to talk about it. And the research actually shows that acknowledging and talking about suicide may actually reduce rather than increase the rate of suicide. And people think that, oh, if I talk about it, that's going to put that idea in that person's head. but that's not really the case. It's already there. And by bringing it up and gently, caringly talking about it with them, that gives them an outlet. That gives them a chance to share their secret, per se. So we really are advising, you know, people, we want to create that awareness. We also want to create an awareness that there's a national suicide hotline. There has always been, not always, there has been one for many, many years, but it was a big, long number. And they recently changed their number to 988. And so it's very easy to remember. And by calling 988, that's a 24-hour crisis line. You don't always have to be thinking about suicide, but it is a national crisis line. And if you're a veteran, they have veterans there that will speak to other veterans. So there's even a special line there for veterans.
I mean, veteran suicide has been in the news quite a bit, actually, you know, in the last month for sure. I mean, it's even coming up in the, you know, in Washington, D.C. with our legislators talking about it all the time, the Departments of Veterans Affairs talking about mental health access.
Yes. And, you know, veteran suicide, you know, is very, it's a unique phenomenon, but it's really been going on for a very long time where we knew there was a very high rate of veteran suicide. The unadjusted suicide rate for veterans was 23.3 per 100,000 in 2001 and 31 per 100,000 in 2020. And for non-veteran adults, the suicide rate is 12.6.
Wow.
So you see how elevated it really is. And part of the reason is that mental illness has strong links to suicide amongst veterans, because when you're in the service, you have to be strong, and there's an emphasis placed on strength and, you know, taking care of yourself. And there's also the brother sisterhood, you know, and when we have veterans, especially in our area, they're dispersed. And so they may not have a fellow veteran that they can talk with. And they may be experiencing PTSD symptoms. They may be experiencing depression. There's other sometimes co-occurring disorders upon, you know, discharge. And they may not have anyone to talk to about this. And there is also concern about losing veterans benefits if you go to the VA to seek counseling, and some of that is just not true. And so there's a lot of concern about this. And so they really talk about, you know, veterans really reaching out and talking. So this line can be very helpful to veterans, and that it's anonymous. You know, they can talk to another veteran, and they can talk about what they're experiencing.
Just incredible to hear this. And, you know, specifically, I wanted to talk about access, because whether it's a veteran suicide that you're talking about, or, you know, any person, access, does it continue to be a problem? Access to care?
Yes, there continues to be a problem with access to care. Some of that has to do with the psychiatric shortages in the nation, and particularly in areas that are not in big cities. It has to do now with a lot of workforce challenges that are occurring following COVID. There's many therapists who have left the profession, or who have gone into private practice where they might not accept insurance, or they only accept certain insurance because of the paperwork. Low salaries for therapists and helpers. And so this is something, you know, it's strange to me, being in the field for so long. Like, isn't this something that society values? Doesn't society place any value on mental health? And people don't realize that we say your mental health is health, that your mental health impacts your physical health and the other way around. It can impact your blood pressure, heart disease, gastrointestinal problems. There's even some research shown that it impacts, you know, cancer because of the inflammation in the system. And like your body's all one big thing. And we know that now. Research has shown that. And so people are still very hesitant to get help for their mental health. And so when organizations like ours come and say, you know, to the public, it's okay not to be okay, get help. And then they try to get help and they might have to wait 2 or 3 months to see a therapist or to see a psychiatrist.
Yeah, that's too long, way too long to be able to do that. And so what happens when you do call that hotline? Could you tell us about the hotline 988 again?
Well, someone will talk to you. They don't ask really for any, you know, of your personal information. They'll be there and they'll listen to you to talk to you about what's going on with you. And, you know, they're there to get help. They can refer you to other places. If it is a bona fide actual crisis, they don't have any location, so you don't have to worry that there's geolocation. They can't find you per se and, you know, send the police out. I mean, I think they probably have ways, if they really have to, but they really, that's not what they do. They want to talk to you and they want to find out, you know, how you are and make a referral for you if you need a referral. You know, that's what they do.
This is, a really tough topic to tackle as well. You know, you've always told me that your goal has been to make mental health no longer a stigma, right? Shatter that stigma. And do you think that there is still a stigma attached to having those suicidal thoughts? And then people just keeping it in.
Absolutely. I still think that, you know, people see having, for whatever reason, like if you have heart disease or cancer, you don't think that's a character flaw. But for whatever reason, and it comes from, you know, there's no time to get into it here, but historically, society has looked at someone who has a mental health problem as a weak person. Is there something wrong? What's wrong with you? Are you crazy? You know, the way people use that kind of word, or I feel so schizophrenic today, like that's not an adjective. And so they have misconstrued that mental health is part of your health, and they see it as a character flaw, a weakness. And so really knowing, let's say you think you have an abnormal heartbeat and going to see a cardiologist, that's like a responsible thing to do. That's showing inner strength and fortitude and, you know, you're taking care of yourself. So why, if you're having trouble eating and sleeping and you're anxious and depressed, why reaching out for help? Isn't it the same way? It doesn't mean that you're weak. It means that you're strong and you know you have a problem and you're seeking help for that problem. And sometimes, you know, talk therapy is all you really need. And sometimes you do need medication because, you know, research does show that there are changes in your body, actual changes that occur in your brain, you know, sometimes when you have a serious mental illness. And medication does work. And with medication, there's all kinds of people leading, you know, normal lives, taking medication for their mental health. So it's not, you know, it's nothing, it's not a stigmatizing event. It shouldn't really be. And more and more people are talking about it. I mean, you're seeing Hollywood celebrities talking about it. You're seeing some public figures talking about it. And hopefully that's normalizing the conversation, but we still have a long way to go.
Long way to go. I mean, just so interesting that, you know, you're on the front lines of this and you really do a wonderful job about talking about this, advocating, educating, serving people, which is really important. Can you tell us a little bit about your organization itself? And, you know, you're in the Greensburg area, but you service all of southwestern Pennsylvania. Who works for you? What kind of services do you offer? What do people know, do you need to know about MHA of southwestern PA?
Well, one thing that might be helpful related to this conversation is we have started a warm line And that's just a place where people can call to talk. You don't have to be in crisis. The Warm Line does have limited evening hours, early evening hours. And the number for the Warm Line, you just call 833, and it's MHA Warm. So it's 833-642-9276. And there'll be somebody there that can listen to you. The Warm Line also does like welfare checks, so that, you know, phone calls, so that if there's someone that wants someone to check in on somebody at a regular time in the evening, they can do that as well, just to make, you know, sometimes people are lonely and they just want somebody to talk to. And the research has shown that by doing that, that keeps people mentally well. Having one person, one significant person that cares about you, can do that. And sometimes people feel alone and they don't feel like they can get help. We also have a community advocate that can help people who are having mental health issues, mental health problems. They might feel, they might have a question about how an involuntary commitment works, how a voluntary commitment works, what resources there are in the community that they can go to. And so the advocate can help with that. We have what are called representative payees for people who are receiving Social Security, SSI and SSD, and they can assist them in managing their funds. And that service is also free. All of our services are free. So we have individuals that are care managers that can help people with what are called the social determinants of health. And those are the things that you need to live well, like a place to live, food. For some people, it's a job. For some people, it's spiritual enrichment. For people, it's having a significant place to go where people care about them. And so that is another service that Mental Health America offers. We've helped people who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness. We've helped people that have food insecurities. Maybe they know about the food bank, but they have no way to get there. So we can help them, you know, get bus passes, do things to help them reach some resources that they need. We also have a drop-in center in Latrobe. And that's for people who have a serious mental illness and want a place to go during the day for socialization. And so that's available to anyone with a mental illness that would want to participate in that. It's called Step Up, the drop-in center. And, you know, so we also do a lot of community outreach, public speaking about mental health. There's a program called QPR. It's an evidence-based national program, Question, Persuade, and Refer. We have trainers in that talk to people about how to talk to people that they think might be experiencing a mental health crisis or problem. And that's a free training, and we have trainers available to do that for groups of people. Again, we do public speaking, we do lunch and learns for businesses. So all kinds of things related to mental health, and our services are, again, are free.
Amazing. Lori Barnett Levine with Mental Health America of Southwestern Pennsylvania. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm here today with a dear friend of mine, Lori Barnett Levine from Mental Health America of Southwestern Pennsylvania. She's talking about suicide awareness now, a crisis lifeline available at 988. She's also talking about the services that are brick and mortar right here in our community in Southwestern Pennsylvania. So how many counties do you cover then, Lori?
Well, actually, we would cover the counties that really surround, I never really counted them, that surround Westmoreland County. Allegheny County is one of the largest counties, and we don't have contracting services in Allegheny County, but we do systems advocacy. We serve on various committees. We do legislative education, and we participate in, you know, supportive services, advisory committees, things of that nature.
You also have quite a few events each year, and not only just to raise money, but also it's a piece of community outreach. So your annual meeting, just generally tell us what is included in an annual meeting.
Well, the annual meeting's original purpose was to elect our officers and board members each year, but we utilize that meeting as a vehicle for public education. So we have, I always try to get an interesting keynote speaker. And by the time this airs, our meeting unfortunately will be over, but we're having a very well-known and respected pediatrician talking about youth and trauma. And we are recognizing someone who lost loved ones to suicide. Mm-hmm. And so that every year we try to do something with, you know, with something that the public who's interested might want to come and hear about that. And last year, we honored a foundation for their work, and their executive director, Sutton Farm Foundation, for her work in the community and all the things that she's done to make things better for individuals throughout southwestern Pennsylvania through the Staunton Farm Foundation. And we give what's called the Fred Frenieri Mental Health Award, and it's the founders of Mental Health America. The original president was a man named Fred Frenieri. And the Frenieri family is still very active with Mental Health America. And each year the family gives an award to someone who is an outstanding volunteer in the community. And that's what we do with the dinner. So we recognize that person.
Isn't that nice? What a nice evening, and, you know, great way to reach out, honor people, but also then those people sort of, I don't want to say become the poster child, but at least, you know, they're a familiar face in the community that is dealing with these issues. And so they can go out and continue to advocate on your behalf. You also do an innovations dinner every year, and that's usually in the spring.
Yes, we do. And that dinner is to honor people in the community who are doing great work. And again, it's a fundraiser, but it's also a friend raiser, an awareness raiser, so that you have someone who's been doing great work in educating the community, perhaps about mental health. We've given media awards. We've given advocacy awards. We have given lifetime achievement awards, so that, and it's the categories are there so that we can select individuals who are doing great things, and we can educate the community about the great things that are happening in their community that they may know nothing about. We also hold a virtual conference every year where we give free continuing education units. And this year it's going to be in January because we figure the lull of winter, people might want something to do. And there aren't very many educational events at that time of the year. So we are hosting that in January. And you can find out all this information on our website, which is mhaswpa.org. So we welcome you to take a look at our website. You can see our staff, the things that we do, and any of our upcoming events. And of course, donations are always welcome.
That's what I was going to talk about. You know, how is your organization funded, and how much do you rely on those donations?
Well, some of the programs, you know, like the drop-in center and the representative payees, are funded through county behavioral health dollars, which mm-hmm. come from the state, most of them. And then the special things that we do, like the lunch and learns, the advocacy, the advisory boards, you know, some of those outreach things, and the work that we do in other counties outside Westmoreland County, that's what's funded by the fundraising. That gives us the ability to do that and take our work and our information outside of the agency and the regular services that we offer.
And then when you also have the opportunity to find donors who've been impacted by mental health as well, right? I'm sure a lot of people come to you seeking you out and saying, you know, I have a relative who's impacted by this, or I myself have been impacted by this and I want to get involved.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and so even like for our fundraisers, we're always looking for sponsors, and the sponsors really help pay for the event. So, you know, we have our staff time that goes into this event, but we don't get paid for that staff time. Mm-hmm. get paid for the work that we do behind the scenes to bring these educational events to the community. During the past year, we've done educational events with WQED, and we've had films that they have been Emmy nominated or Emmy awarded for. And we show them at local colleges and universities. We showed it at Pitts Greensburg and Seton Hill University. And so doing all that, nobody pays us to do that. And so those are the extra kinds of things that we do to bring special educational events to the free. They were all free to the community.
It's just, I mean, what you do, I just, you know, I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to talk about it and put it out there because you do such a great job. And you care so much about all of this. And I know I always ask you to talk about this. We have about 3 minutes left, but I think, you know, we always want to know how did you get into this line of work and what did you do before you were running MHA of Southwestern PA?
I can't explain it, but from the time I was an adolescent, I was always interested in psychology and what made people tick. And I was interested in mental health, mental illness. I worked for a variety of mental health organizations, professionally, most of which were in Allegheny County before I came to MHA. I've been at MHA over 17 years and I never stopped learning. And, I never stop thinking about ways to bring services to people. And I just always been very passionate about mental health and mental illness. I've unfortunately known some people who have lost their lives to suicide and lost their lives to overdoses. And, you know, it's never easy, but that's kind of what motivates me is to make a difference, to improve the lives of people in the community.
You do a wonderful job. They're blessed to have you. And all of the people that work for you are wonderful. All of your volunteers. Do you want to brag for a minute about your volunteers and your board?
We have some, you know, that's another thing about my job. I have met the most amazing people. You know, the people that volunteer for MHA are so giving and just like so incredible. The Fineri family who has, you know, donated this award. When Fred Fineri passed away, his wife gave the award. When his wife passed away, his son gave the award. When his son passed away, his wife gave the award. And to this day, the Fineri family still gives the award. Just very special, special people. There's people who assist the organization who just really care about the organization. They care about mental health. They walk the talk, as they say, and they're just very motivated to do good. And they're such special, special people. And I feel really blessed to have known these people and had the opportunity to work with them. They help us with our events. They help us with donating auction items, you know, for our event in the spring. We're always in need of auction items. So if there's a business that's listening and would like to donate any auction items, we would greatly appreciate it. We even have where you can become a community sponsor. And so we use the money that is donated for that particular category to buy auction items from local businesses. So we're helping the local businesses and you're helping Mental Health America and you're helping people that have mental health issues. So it's just, you know, there's been many wonderful things that I've come in contact with. So I feel blessed as, you know, as well as being able to help others.
You're amazing, Laurie Barnett Levine from Mental Health America of Southwestern Pennsylvania, a guest on our show today, talking about suicide awareness, talking about MHA of Southwestern PA, both the brick and mortar and the virtual services, all the events they've done. You have to check out their website, mhaswpa.org. Thank you so much for joining us on Westmoreland Community Connections. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Thanks for listening.